All right. Fathers and mothers, part two. Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for all the things you're doing and ask that you would just go before us. Lord, as always, I pray that whatever is of you, that it would pierce our hearts. And Father, I ask that whatever is not of you would fall on the floor before us. Because you're God, you're holy, and you're high, and you're lifted up. So, Lord, I pray you just be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Frank was watching. Where are you going? Okay. As we've been talking about, we're in a transition period. And part of that transition period is we're raising up fathers and mothers. And what we mean by that, for those who have been here, is we're raising up people to mentor and disciple, because what we want is we don't want a one-generation church, we want a three-generation church. That we want to have a vision that's beyond ourselves to where we get out of ourselves and we father and mother sons and daughters so that they and raise them into fathers and mothers so they can kind of like spiritual sons and daughters and spiritual grandsons and granddaughters. So, and that all comes about because of a round table that I was invited with 28 or 29 other people from around the country back in Dover that just dramatically changed my life. The key is that we all need to understand if you are in Christ, you have the capabilities, the gifts, the ability to mentor, to disciple, to be a father or a mother. It may look different from person to person. It may be to different degrees. And that's not based upon you. That's based upon what God has given you and what God has called you in. But we need them because all too often, reading from the Passion Bible, 1 Corinthians 4:15, which I've fallen in love with this, for although you could have countless babysitters, ESV, NLT talks about teachers, instructors, and so forth. But the Passion Bible says, though you had countless babysitters in Christ telling you what you're doing wrong, you don't have many fathers who correct you in love. But I'm a true father to you, for I became your father when I gave you the gospel and brought you into union with Jesus, the anointed one. We went into more of that last week than we're going to do this week. But I just want to remind us of a story I told last week. Why do we need fathers, mothers, instead of babysitters? For those of you who have kids, most of you have had a babysitter. So you can escape. So you can have a date night. Okay? Or go do something. But what does the babysitter do? The babysitter comes. The babysitter takes care of the baby, cleans up the messes. But when you go home, the last thing that happens is you pay them and they leave. They're a hireling. That's what they do. And that's good because we need them. They're a caretaker. But what do fathers and mothers do? Well, they're in the mess all the time, as we just witnessed. Okay? And, but they don't just clean up the messes. They walk with the kids, like some of the charges that Jacob and Janita just got, to help them to not make the messes, to help them to grow in the Lord, to help them to be all that God wants them to be. They're with them 24/7 for the most part. I realize people go to work, blah, blah, blah. But they're not functioning at the end of the day. They don't get a paycheck. Somebody doesn't come and say, good job today, Jacob and Janita. Here's a check for $25. If you do a good job tomorrow, I'll give you another check for $25. And if you keep doing a good job in 6 months, I'll give you $50 a day. Okay? No, you don't get that. Did you guys ever get a check for the kids you roast? Okay? But you wrote a lot of checks, right? Okay, right, Lois? You wrote a lot of checks. Okay? But that's what fathers and mothers do. But why do they do it? Out of love. They don't do it to get a paycheck. They don't do it just because of, you know, I was hired to do it. They're in there for the long haul. You know, and that kind of gets us back to the home groups that Frank was talking about. The first one's going to be there. We're going to come up with another one. There was a rumor that Dan was going to do a home group, but he's going to actually lead the men's ministry, and there'll be more on that coming later on that. But the home groups, the purpose for them, and Frank did a really excellent job, is all about relationships. It's about helping people to be mothers and fathers. What are mothers and fathers? It's relationship, right? With children. It's all about relationships. And all about helping them to help others to become the people that they really are in Christ. See, here's the truth. We need each other. It's just the truth. I am utterly convinced that you and I will go farther in our walk with Jesus when we have spiritual fathers and mothers. You heard part of my story, and we actually got into this a little bit at this podcast with James and Scott. When we have mentors, when we have disciples, when we have people who are there who are willing to strengthen us, who are willing to encourage us, willing to build us up, willing to be the Aarons and hers in our lives and hold our arms up when they get tired. When we're surrounded by people that love us, that are for us, that are our cheerleaders, that the phrase I like to use, that has my back, has your back. It's just a fact. It's really the end of subject. No further discussion is needed. We need each other. And not just those within this fellowship. All too often, churches raise up walls around themselves, and it's like they live in fear of other churches or something, that they're teaching something demonic, or I really don't understand. But we need those in the other networks, in the other churches, denominations, whatever you want to call it. And again, the two podcasts, I mean, think about this. There's a guy who grew up, a black guy who grew up in a Word of Faith, another guy that grew up in the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, and me, whatever it is. I actually grew up in the Lutheran Church. And we're having this podcast. And we've had two of them now. And we're getting really good feedback. See, here's the truth. We need churches of various sizes. We need the big churches. But we also need the smaller churches, because the church, depending upon its size, can do various things that maybe another church can't do. Plus, the truth of the matter is, it just provides more of a variety. It's hard for a person who's kind of looking, that doesn't want to stand out, to come to a place like this, that really doesn't know about this Jesus person. But if they go to Solid Rock or a place like that where the gospel's preached, they can kind of sneak in, not be noticed, but hear the word. Okay? Where relationships, I'm told, are a little more easier in a smaller church. So it just, we need each other. We need all the different sizes and we need all the different people. See, the important thing we always have to remember, size is really not important. It's not really important whether you're huge, whether you're medium, whether you're small. I mean, the average church in America, I think, is somewhere around 68 people, something like that. Even though the ones you always hear of are mega churches. See, size, the truth of the matter is, size is only important because of the American marketing system that says bigger is better. The bigger you are, the more successful you are. But here's the truth. I have this conversation with Philip in Columbia. They just broke ground on a $7 million building. They've got 1,100 people. They've got this school, 300 kids. And we have almost the same needs as they do. We don't have the school needs, obviously. We don't have the $7 million need, thank you, Lord. But we still need fathers and mothers. We still need to have relationships. We still need to have people who are willing to use their gifts to edify and build up and strengthen. We still need to dream bigger dreams and walk them out. We still need to have influence in the community around us. And we still need to serve God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. See, one of the saddest things that can happen is when a church closes and nobody misses it. The community doesn't even know it shut down. I mean, let me ask you a question. If we've received anything from God, or put it more this way, the things we receive from God, aren't they good? I mean, God's good. That's what Jesus said in Luke 18, 19. And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." So since God is here, nothing else, we got the scripture where two or three are gathered in his name, then he's doing something, right? And therefore, what he's doing is good. So if it's good, why wouldn't we want to share it? Especially in this crazy world. Why wouldn't we want others to benefit from what we're benefiting from? No matter what's the size. But why wouldn't we want to benefit from what others are benefiting from? It's not about us. And again, I like how Frank nailed it. And he didn't give me any money to say this, but I like how Frank nailed it, that it's about building the kingdom. It's not about getting people in this church. It's, you know, remember we talked last week about how we should even father people to go to other churches. Never for the purpose of getting them to come here. Never. But so that they are more effective in raising sons and daughters where God has planted them. And that's why Satan has worked so hard to divide the body of Christ. Or one of the reasons, anyway. But we need to be about passing on the good things that God has given us. Not only bearing fruit here where God has placed us, but sharing the fruit God has blessed us with others, with those that don't know the Lord, but also with our friends, with those people we work with our friends that go to other churches. Cross-pollinization. But at the same time, not being jealous of what God is doing elsewhere. I thank God for the churches that are here in town that are preaching the gospel, that are reaching people that we're not reaching. Because I'm getting more brothers and sisters. I'm getting a bigger family. Okay? I'm getting people that I'll bump into someday that's going to encourage me in the Lord. Instead, we need to be praying for those folks. I mean, we need to be sharing what God's doing here, and they need to be sharing with us. And it's another reason to have fathers and mothers. So we are not encouraged to hoard. It's never about hoarding. It's always about distributing the amazing fruit that God has given us and to partake of the amazing fruit that God has given others. I mean, don't you think God is so huge that there's no one person that can figure him out? But the more people that walk together, the closer we get to understanding him. Not to understand him, because we never will. He's God. We're not. You put all the believers in the world together, we're still not God. Okay? But we can have a little more insight. We can understand his glory a little better. We can understand his salvation a little better. That's why, and not only that, but the kingdom will grow and grow and grow, and our God will get more and more glory. You need to understand something. We really do, and it's not about arrogance here. It's about the Holy Spirit. If we do what God has called us to do, each and every one, individually and collectively, the fruit that we produce will be amazing. That's just the fact. And not to, we should walk around saying, well, look what I did today. But we should thank the Lord that he's using us. I mean, I look in the mirror sometimes and go, man, you're crazy. talking about me. I don't dare to say that about God, but sometimes I have said that. It will be amazing. And that's the kind of fruit that each and every one of us should be praying for. That's the kind of fruit that each and one of us should be dreaming about. You know, our dreams sometimes are too small, as we've talked about. We want amazing fruit to come forth in this structure, in this place, in this thing called Christian fellowship that God has blessed us with. But we want that fruit to come forth wherever God is. I don't care if it's Solid Rock, Our Savior's Lutheran, House of Prayer, First Baptist. It doesn't matter. Okay? So I want you to ask yourself this question. What legacy do you want to leave in the kingdom of God? What legacy do we want to leave? When the church dies after one generation? Or do we want to leave a legacy where each succeeding generation took it farther than we did, than the previous generation did? Where they did greater things than we were gifted to do? Because I believe each generation is like building blocks, and God has given us a piece. But those who are followed, and we pass that piece along, but not only are we passing that piece along, but God is working in their lives, and they're like building blocks. And they get bigger and bigger and bigger. See, here's the truth. When fathers and mothers plant what the Father, capital F, has given us, it can't be stopped. It can't be stopped. We must stand strong without apology in the call that we have received. See, that's one of Terry's and one of my biggest things, as it talks about in Ephesians 4, to equip the saints to do the works of service. We want people to walk into everything that God has for them, especially, and I say this in all sincerity, if it's more than I can do. Because I want to see the kingdom expand. I want to see my God glorified. And we do that individually, we do that collectively. That's why we need the fivefold ministry, but that's why we need the fathers and mothers. Now let me caution us about something here. As we walk this out, we have to focus on God's call. What am I talking about? And not the fruit. Because the truth is, you may see some failures. You may plant some seed. You may water some seed where people just stick their nose up at you and tell you you're crazy when you're talking about Jesus or whatever. You know, in the scripture in 1 Corinthians, you know, Paul became a father because he shared the gospel. We may see failures when we're tempting to father and mother somebody. But guess what? Here's where you need to understand something. It may not and probably isn't your fault. I'm not saying you're perfect. But we can plant, we can water, but humans can reject what we share. Now, I'm talking about biblical stuff. I'm talking about godly stuff. I'm talking about scriptural stuff, okay? I think you understand that. Humans have free will. Now, you've heard me say before, if I was God, I wouldn't have done it that way. But I'd have a whole bunch of robots walking around, okay? So we shouldn't look at failures as people that reject our godly counsel as a reason to give up, to quit. We shouldn't, which I've done, go, wow, I didn't do that one right. But what's it say in 1 Corinthians 3? It says that plant. We plant and water, but it's God that brings forth the fruit. And people have free wills. Instead, we should go to the Father, capital F, and ask him if we did something wrong. He'll share it with us if we did. Maybe it's a good idea to talk to somebody. Somebody that's fathering you, somebody in leadership, whatever, and say, this is what I did. Did I do anything wrong? That's called humility. But here's the truth. Failures very well may not be an indication of our fatherhood or our motherhood. It may just be the son's or daughter's wrong choice. Don't freak out. I mean, think about this. God lost one-third of his angels. Jesus lost Judas Iscariot. Because they have decided to go in a different way. That's why we must always be praying for ourselves and that we are the father and mother that God wants us to be and ask other people to cover us in prayer. It's all part of relationships, all part of being family. All the while praying for our spiritual sons and daughters. And at the same time, again, don't blame ourselves if we cast seed or we invest and we lose one. Because here's the truth. As fathers and mothers, we may see children that fail, while at the same time we might raise up a David. Okay? Especially if we're really wanting our sons and daughters to go farther than we went. Okay? And if you're older, don't say you're too old. You want to... Never mind, don't go down the path, Gary. See, we're never too old to father. We're never too old to mother. There's no retirement from God's word. Think about this for a second. Who did Joshua lead into the promised land? Was it people his age? No, God took care of all them. It was a generation younger, 40 years younger or whatever, and younger than young, and more than 40. He led his whole generation into the promised land. See, ours is to follow God, his spirit, and be the fathers and mothers he's called us, and to cast the seed that he's called us, knowing that some will produce fruit and some will not. Matthew 13:3-9. He told many stories in form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns. They grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. And for us, we pray for the ones that 30, 60, 100. But we also pray for the ones that fell elsewhere, that they will, because God never gives up on anybody. So you pray for the good fruit, but you pray for the others too. And again, remembering that Jesus fathered Judas Iscariot. So what do you do if someone comes to you and asks you to be their spiritual father or mother? They want you to disciple them. They want you to teach them. They want you to mentor them. First and foremost, do not be dismissive. They might be fragile. It might be, you might be the first person they ever ask, and all of a sudden they get rejected because they're a person that really needs to be encouraged and built up and strengthened. And if you reject them straight out of hand, it may be a problem. So don't do that. Talk to them. Find out their hearts. Pray. You know, don't try to figure out what kind of ground it is, because I want to have 100% record, so is it really good soil so I can get 30, 60, 100-fold? I don't want that hard path. I don't want the thorns and thistles. That'll smudge my record. I won't get the notch on the belt that I need. No, it's not about that. It's listen to their heart. Pray. Talk to somebody. See if they're being mentored by somebody else. See if there's a better person. There may be a better person. No offense to anybody. And then follow the Holy Spirit. And as you do, they'll get mentored. And if you're the one that's supposed to mentor them, then it'll end up with it. See, we always want to do what the Holy Spirit says to do. It's not according to our wisdom. You know, what's it say in the Bible about our wisdom? It's folly before God. Here's another truth. We are created to help folks understand the value they have and the importance of relationship in the kingdom. You want to tick me off? Let me walk by and hear you say something to somebody that they're really not worth much. Because every one of you in this room, Jesus went to the cross for. And that makes you pretty darn valuable. Pretty stinking valuable. In fact, he went to the cross for all 7 billion people on this planet. See, a true father, a true mother, never writes off anyone. Just don't do it. Yes, there may be sons and daughters that are not producing fruit, but pray for them. Encourage them anyway. When God gives you opportunity to just speak good into their life, speak good into their life. All too often, the body of Christ is about tearing down, and we need to be about building up. Always. There are also people God doesn't want you to mentor because he really has somebody else for it, because he hasn't really equipped you to mentor that person. He may not want you to mentor Jack, but he wants you to mentor Jay or Allison versus Aaron. Oh, those are the quadruplet nieces and nephews. You know, it's interesting. They're all getting ready to go off to college. Can you believe that? I remember... Wow. So let's pray. The worship team wants to come back up. Do you have a song? So let's stand. I want to pray for us. And then we'll close with a song. Father, I ask that you would help each and every person in this room to be the mothers and the fathers that you desire us to be, that you would line up those that we need to be lined up with to encourage, to strengthen, to build up, to edify, to mentor, to disciple, to follow the Great Commission, to go on to all the world and disciple people. That you would help each and every one of us, Father, to be open to working in our life and through us in other people's lives, however you want to do that. That you would guide us and you would lead us for your God. We just love you. And we just thank you for this transition that you are taking us through, for how you're changing us day by day. Thank you, Lord. I just pray blessing over each person here, that each and every one of us would walk into all that you have for us, for your glory, and to build your kingdom. And the church said, amen. Amen. If anybody needs prayer, you can always come up front. Had some good things happening. There's been testimonies. Sarah, you're still doing well, better, Dan?
Yes.
God seems to like working on next over the last couple of weeks. But we're just going to continue to pray. So if there's anybody that, as we've gone to that training over there and different things, want to just continue to pray. If somebody wants to be prayed for, come on up. Otherwise, we're going to close with this song. And before we do that, I just want to thank Shannon and Dan back there as they've been wrestling with this thing this morning and they haven't been cursing. At least vocally out loud, okay? But thank you guys for working to fix this. Appreciate it.